If you have your Bibles, please open to Colossians, the third chapter. Good to see all who are here tonight. In Colossians, the third chapter, we're going to start reading verse 12. You know what? In our congregation, we divide the year into four-month sections. And first part of every year, we have program teaching. 2 years ago, we did the Gospels, the life of Christ. And then this last year, we did the Book of Acts and New Testament history. And then I've done a series on emotions and being spiritually minded. This is the passage we used to structure that teaching that we did. And so I want you we're going to go through verse 12 through 17, and I just want you to really think about how much information is really in this short passage of Scripture. So, he says, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Can you find any more compressed passage? If you start doing an expository study of this, it's going to take you a long time to get all these words defined and understand all of what it means. But yet, we've tried to embrace most of those thoughts during our short study here this week, talking about forgiveness. We've talked about why we wouldn't want to sin, why I don't want to sin. We've talked about pride. We've talked about forgiving your enemies. We've talked about working cooperatively with one another in the team of the church. And this morning we've talked about other attitudes that we need to add to our lives, a whole bunch of different attitudes. Well, tonight we want to talk about thankfulness in particular. In other words, the theme of thanksgiving, so to speak. With thanksgiving in your hearts to God. I want you to notice the two times it's used in this passage. Verse 16, he says, singing with thankfulness and giving thanks in verse 17 to him, to God the Father. Now, the reason why I want to talk about this in particular is a lot of people want happiness. You know, I think we want to be happy. And we think that happiness is our right. Well, I want you to know happiness isn't something that we can demand. Happiness or blessedness or feeling blessed by God is a state of mind. You know, when I think of my children, that they're a blessing from God at most of the time. You know, sometimes I wonder if God didn't put them here to test me. You know, it depends on the situation, the timing, doesn't it? Well, the same thing it is with the church and with all of life. We can be happy in no matter what circumstances, or we can let our circumstances be the foundation for happiness. But I think what we need to do is have a heart trained in thankfulness. And so tonight we want to talk about the spiritual discipline of being grateful and thankful. But before we do, let's take time to pray to God. I'm thankful for many things. Whenever I think of things that I'm grateful for and thankful for, I try to be grateful at the moment. I'm thankful for our brother who spoke about the meeting a little bit and wished I could speak longer. Be careful what you pray for. We can make it feel longer anyway. But, you know, whenever we talk about things like that, we are grateful. I'm grateful for the example of the young people in the congregation who got together this afternoon and sang together. That's greatly encouraging. I don't know. I guess I'm an older person now. I'm starting to appreciate different things. But I really do appreciate that they're working at, they're honing their skills to sing to God and give him glory and encouraging one another in that way. And so those are good things that are encouraging to me. And I'm thankful for the meeting, to have the meeting, because, you know, I don't click every place, and I'm thankful for the places that invite me and have me to speak. And I'm thankful for that I can be effective for God in some way. I desire to be used by him, as many of you do as well. But those are just things that we're grateful for and thankful for in every way. But I'm talking about a general attitude tonight that is the basis for happiness. The reason why I brought up happiness in our introduction is happiness is very elusive. Two people can be in exactly the same circumstances, one of them be happy and the other one be unhappy. And it's not because the circumstances are different for each one. It is because they each have a different mindset or a different way to interpret what's going on. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I believe the reason why we're often unhappy is because we are unthankful and ungrateful. We do need to count our blessings, as the old song says. We need to be aware of what it could be like without the blessings that God gives us abundantly. If we are ungrateful for what we have, then we're going to just be grouchier and grouchier as we get older, and more and more of this entitlement mindset that gets us no place. You know, whenever you talk to people in this country about who's poor, you know, they always say, well, I am. If I was asking if you're poor tonight, you know, many of us would raise our hands and say, we're poor. No, in comparison with the world, we're very rich. But we are the most grumbling, envious, covetous country in the world. Why? It's because somebody's got something better and we want it. And the devil says, hey, you shouldn't be happy unless you have this, that, and the other. Murders have been committed over tennis shoes in our country. I find that to be amazing. But because people covet things and they're not happy unless they have what somebody else has as well. Well, we are so, so blessed. And yet we tend to be like the children of Israel that come out of bondage and grumble in the wilderness and want to go back into sin. That's so sad. That is so sad. So tonight, I really want to talk about the discipline of thanksgiving and of thankfulness that God calls us to in the scriptures. In Psalms 100, 1 through 5, it's the whole psalm. In Psalm 100, I just want to read the whole thing to you. Listen to this wonderful psalm that of thanksgiving to God. Notice what it says. Shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord God himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We're so thankful for that, aren't we? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. You know, the person had a wonderful heart, didn't he? Whenever this psalm was written, he spoke wonders and volumes about his relationship with God because he is grateful and thankful, and the Lord's grace extends to all generations. You know, I'm thankful we have a loving God. I'm thankful we have a God of grace and of mercy. And we should be thankful all the day for even no matter how many talents we have or what our circumstances are. But we need to be so grateful that we can sing in prison. Now, in the book of Acts, they were thrown into prison and they're singing praise to God. Can we do that? Could we do that? They evidently had disciplined their heart where they could, and they had disciplined themselves from that basic to that basic attitude of thanksgiving and thankfulness to God. From the beginning, God wanted his people to show gratitude and to be thankful and grateful for what they received. Every story that involves ingratitude has a bad end. For instance, Lot's lack of appreciation to Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 13 chapter. Notice every time, you know, people who are envious and covetous and they get what they want, they discover that that's not really the source of happiness that they thought it would be. You know, they always want something else. And then whenever they get it, they discover that it's not right. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, realize this: in the last days, difficult times will come. Because, as we read this morning, people are lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they deny its power. Avoid such men as these. These are people who just are devoid of thankfulness. They can't even be thankful. They hate their parents. They hate everything about them. You know, I know one young person in a situation, in a congregation, that he was so mad at his parents. You know, why don't I get everything that I want? You know, you have the ability to give it to me. You must not love me. And of course, if you knew this woman, she was pretty objective and realistic. She says, "You're right, we hate your guts." She wasn't about to play into that. You know, she said, and the guy, no, stop messing with me, Mom. You should give me everything that you could give me, you know, and stuff. And she said, "You are so ungrateful." You know what she did? She went into his bedroom. This is literally true. I was there. She went into his bedroom, took everything out of his room, all of his clothes, his skateboard, his bed, his pillows, everything. And she said, "This is your room. You can have it. I hope the carpet's warm tonight, because you're going to have to earn the blanket and the pillow back." And she made him earn everything back into his room. And he started doing everything. I've talked to this young man since he grew up. I said, "Was that a traumatic experience?" And he said, "At the moment, it was." I went, "Mom and Dad have gone nuts." You know, but as this man, young man matured, he said it was a turning point literally in his life. He realized that he wasn't entitled to everybody serving him, that he really wasn't the center of the universe, was his term, but that he realized he needed to be more grateful for the things that he possessed in his life. And he was grateful after that, because I'll guarantee you he had to earn everything. It took him over a year to get everything that was taken out of his room back. And he was appreciative. You know, if God was to take everything away from our grumbling hides, whenever we start whining about why hasn't God blessed us like everything else, I'm sure that we would be in a different place in a not too distant future when God took away all the things that he's protected and blessed us with. The blessings found in Christ, all spiritual blessings are found in him, but we sometimes fail to appreciate. And how is it possible that we can ever get to a place where we count the blood of the covenant by which we are sanctified an unholy thing and do despite to the spirit of grace? How can that ever happen? Hebrews says it can. Hebrews says it, that we can get to a place where we were forgotten. We have forgotten that we were once purged from our old sins, but yet we can get there. Why? Because we have an unrealistic expectation. We think religion is all about getting stuff from God and not giving stuff to him, for he is worthy. We are users and not worshipers. Is God our servant or are we his? I want you to know we don't deserve anything. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, we've already looked that up, Christ died for us. We don't deserve anything. The only thing we have to be thankful for is the love and the gracious mercy of God for anything we possess. I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for grace, and I'll be thankful for that. But if God was going to say, you don't get anything else but grace, I tell you, we should be thankful. Just thankful not to go to hell for our sins, the wages for our sins. We're the ones that caused the problem between us and God. So we need to be grateful and thankful. It's not an attitude that we seemingly have. We seem to be motivated more by greed and covetousness and impatience than we are about truly being grateful. It must be taught in the family and in the church that we expect much and we give thanks. It must be taught because we expect much and give thanks seldom to God. Well, God repeatedly tells us to be thankful, to offer thanks to him, to give thanks to him. How do we get into this discipline? Well, that's what I want to share with you tonight. I want you to know it's going to change your heart if you change this discipline. Now, let me give you a homework right here before we even go through the rest of this. This has happened several times, and I just want to give it to you. I want you, if you would, to make up a list every evening before you go to bed of things that you're grateful for. At least five. At least five different things you're grateful for every night. Get some 3x5 cards, start making a little list on them, and make a new one every day for a while until you get mentally in the place of practicing the discipline of being grateful and thankful. And then you could start writing on that list during the day, but at least make five a day where things that you're blessed or things that you're thankful for. This has started on a few ladies started this on Facebook, and several of them have talked to me privately and said it has changed their life. Now, I'm not talking to too many guys that said it changed their life, but I have talked to ladies that said, I don't know if it's only the women that are practicing this or what, but I do know that they said it's literally changed their lives. I think God wants to change our lives. He wants to get us out of this grumbling, entitlement kind of mindset that we have and into a grateful, thankful kind of mindset. And that means we have to think about being grateful. Now, at first, we might just be thankful for temporal things. And those things are grateful for the circumstances that we endure. But sometimes we need to be thankful for God blessing our friends and family, God blessing and watching over others. Sometimes we need to be thankful for those things that are set above, those spiritual things that we enjoy in our life, the grace and mercy, long-suffering, patience of God. We can make things up all our day long. But we need to be a people that we can write Psalms 100. That we can thank and praise God for all that He has done for us. And be grateful. Come before His presence with singing and psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The Bible says that these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are supposed to reflect what's in our heart and in our mind. And they should. They really should. Think about the words of the songs that you sing. Think about what they mean to us. Give thanks to God, the Bible says in these passages. Give thanks to God. In Ephesians 5, verse 10, the passage that we read right here, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. In Colossians, it reads, let the word of Christ dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. With thankfulness in your heart. With gratefulness. So, I am supposed to enumerate the things I'm grateful and thankful for. You know, if you're really uptight sometimes with your mom and dad and find yourself being tempted to rebellion, maybe you need to be thankful that you have your mom and your dad. Some people don't have a mom and a dad. In fact, some don't have either of them. Some don't have any. There's a young man staying with us. His family kicked him out a long time ago because he was trying to be a Christian. At age 9, he became baptized. His family was never interested. They took the opportunities of him coming to worship to steal things out of his room. That included his mother, his dad, and his sister. Now, he just kept coming. Whenever he got older, he kept riding a bike to services. When he didn't have a car, he didn't have money for it. Because the money he brought home, his brother beat him up and took it. Now, be thankful if you have a brother, but I don't know if you can be thankful for the one that beat you up for your money. You know. But this young man just kept going. Did he get bitter at the Lord for what he... No, he just kept going, kept going. He opened up a bicycle shop. He kept working on things. He kept going. And now he's being blessed by the Lord mightily for that. When he looks back, I ask him if he's resentful. He said, no. You know, he's thankful that he had a family. And that's a very positive thing. But he says, at least they didn't kill me. Yeah. Well, I guess that's one thing to be thankful for. Yeah. How about that? Would you endure that? Would you come out the other side of that kind of... Be thankful for your family. Oh, you don't always agree with them. That's true. But I'll tell you what. Whenever you see pictures of people in foreign lands, especially, I've been looking at some pictures every now and then of kids in Brazil. They're called the homeless ones, the ones that they, sometimes the police just go out and shoot because they need to get rid of them. You know, they're without families. They've been abandoned. They have no clue who their family is. You've got one. Be thankful. You've got one. These are real people. So we need to be a little more grateful than what we are. We need to be grateful for our freedoms. We need to pray for more for our government. We need to pray that we continue to enjoy the freedoms that we possess in this land, of being able to speak up for Christ. For historically, the freedoms that we enjoy have not been enjoyed by our brothers and sisters in the past. I just saw a picture not that long ago of some Christians who were attacked in an area of Nigeria where the Christians were taken outside, doused in gasoline, and burned alive. Be thankful for your freedom. Be thankful that people in your community don't feel like dragging you outside this building and setting fire to you. Now, I'm not just trying to be dramatic. I'm trying to tell you, you don't deserve, and you and I just don't appreciate what we have sometimes. And so because of that, we can get into a place where we grumble and we don't appreciate what we have. That's just sad. I think it's just ungrateful. In Hebrews 13 chapter, verse 15. Through him then, let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Being giving thanks to him. It should permeate what we do for our relationship with God. Know that the Lord is God. He made us. We did not create ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. As an act of gratitude to him, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to him, refusing to be conformed to this world, but transformed into his image. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Everything belongs to him. We're merely stewards. Now, I don't know if this picture graphically portrays it enough. Maybe a better way to illustrate it is this. If you would, I can think, we're spirits with a body that's temporary. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, last verse of chapter 5. We're in a tabernacle. The Bible says we await a building made without hands. He's talking about our spiritual body in heaven. We await for that blessed body that's comparable to Christ. We know not what he is, but we know we should be like him when he comes. I have no idea what my eternal spiritual body is going to be like. All I've got is this one. Trying to turn it from a temple into a basilica, some of this. But anyway, the whole point is sometimes we don't recognize that a living sacrifice, mentally, this is what I use. Mentally, this is a picture I have. It's whenever I would, maybe if I was in the Old Testament and I brought a lamb for sacrifice or a goat or whatever it is, I would take it and bring it to an altar and I would say, here's my sacrifice. You know, I've tried, this is the best one I have. No spot or blemish. And I would bring it in my arms and I would offer it. You know, offer it. Take a step back, if you would, and come before a spiritual God. I can see my spiritual self, if you will, bringing my body, carrying my body. And I bring my body to God on the day of judgment. And I lay it before him. And I say, here's my body. I gave it to you as a sacrifice. And I give it to him. And I step back. Because that's my body. My body is merely a tool. My body is just the clothing that my spirit has. And I am, as a Christian, supposed to take that body and offer it to God. God, here it is. No matter what you want to do with it, take it. Whether I live or die, I'm the Lord's, Paul says. I know when to suffer, I know when to abound. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But we, in a spiritual sense, take our body and offer it to God as a living sacrifice. God says, no, I don't want you to give me the dead one. I want your spirit in it. And I want you to offer me your body with your spirit for the rest of your life. That's a living sacrifice. So I pick up this body God doesn't want a dead body. He wants the rest of my life. And so I give him that. I give him my body. My spirit inside chooses to offer my body to God. No matter what he wants to do with it, it's his. That's it. I offer myself as a living sacrifice. My friends, there's no way, even if I gain the whole world, I can't give it in exchange for my soul. Even if I offer my body, I can't buy eternal salvation. The grace and mercy of God causes me everything that I have to offer him. He already owns. It's all his already. There is no way I can purchase, I can earn grace. All I can do is be grateful and thankful and offer him what I am. Offer him what I have. Whatever the filthy rags, whatever time I've got left, whatever few talents and abilities I have, at least I can give my all, give myself to him because of what he's done for me. And even then, whenever I try to balance out the books, it doesn't balance. That's what grace is unmerited favor. And I'm so thankful that God is a good God and he is worthy of all that I have to give, and he deserves more than I can. But I give him all that I have. And that's all he expects. I'm glad that's all he expects. So I come and I give myself to him. Have any of you felt like that picture before God? Have you felt that and just said, throw yourself on his mercy and say, Lord, you deserve more than what I am, but here's what I've got. No! We're often demanding in prayer. We pray about stuff we want. Lord, why don't you give me this? Why don't you help me that? And if you don't, I'm going to be a little bitter about it. I'll try to get over it, but come on. Come on. We need to develop a real, true heart of thankfulness and gratefulness to him. Coming to the gates of the Lord, the key is to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. No wonder we're challenged to give thanks in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Instead of worrying, where we pray with thanksgiving. Philippians 4. Please turn to Philippians 4. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, starting reading with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. He just takes that out of it. Don't be worrying about anything. In other words, it's not about me, my rights, what I'm not getting, or anything else. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a blessing. You want to know where happiness comes from? You know where the source of it comes from? It's from the source of knowing God is good, that he wants to give good gifts to his children, and when he refuses to give us what we want, it's because he knows our needs more than we do. And from his perspective, it may be something that causes us to fall away, just like Paul. Paul prayed three times that the Lord would take away his thorn in the flesh, whatever that was. And the Lord finally had to reveal to him, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he even explained why. That the power of Christ may remain upon you. Paul needed the blessing of the power of Christ remaining on him. And if God had answered his prayer positively, that might not have happened. I want you to know we need to be grateful because God in his providence is looking over us with care. He knows what we're able to endure. He knows the hairs on our head. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And whenever God says no to a prayer, we need to accept that as an answer. My mother always said that. No is an answer. Mom, why don't you answer me? I did. No. Sometimes God says no. Because we don't know why, but we trust that God does. We trust that God does know, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. Okay. Ingratitude begins our trip away from God. In Romans, the first chapter, verse 20 and through 21, since the creation of the world and His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor God or give thanks. That's not filler, folks. They did not honor God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculation, and their foolish heart was darkened. I want you to know, ingratitude is the first step to apostasy. It is that point where we fail to appreciate what God has done for us. We need to be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy lasts unto all in generations. His truth endures. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Certainly, we have problems and things go wrong in this life. But if you focus on the blessings from God, all of your life will have greater meaning. You will find peace and joy in the Lord. Here's a joyful tune. I like this site. You can go to that site and you can find a lot of good illustrations. But I thought, here's a little kid. What do I have to be thankful for? And look at all that's on the table. The mercy and the grace of God, forgiveness, health, joy, peace, love, protection, the blessings found in Christ. There is no reason why we should be a grumbling people, but yet we get to that place. What are we thankful for? I want you to start the discipline of writing down 5 a day of the blessings that you have in this life. And I challenge you to go a month without it changing your appreciation. It will make you more thankful, less covetous. It'll make you less irritable. It'll protect your heart and mind. It is a source of all kinds of blessings. And I have one last thing, and I'm trying not to exercise. I'm trying to make you thankful. You got one thankful, Glenn, for a short afternoon sermon this afternoon. I really appreciate this song. Some people ask me if I have a whole bunch of lyrics. Well, yeah, I do have a lot of lyrics in my illustration. Listen, who am I by casting crowns? Listen to the words of this. It just puts everything in perspective, I think. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name? Would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower swiftly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed on the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still, you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower, swiftly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed on the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still, you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours. You know, our songs need to really capture our gratefulness for who He is. Our Lord is abundant in mercy. He is rich in grace. And there's not a reason in the world I deserve to be saved.
And he wants to see me go to heaven. And he desires for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Our God is good. And he is trustworthy. And there is not a circumstance in this world that should cause me to change my mind or even be tempted to. Therefore, in all things, I will give thanks. That's a discipline. That means we have to view our circumstances differently sometimes. No matter what happens, we can trust that God has our eternal welfare at heart. We can trust Him. Friends, sometimes I need to be reminded that this life is not what it's all about. And these circumstances that I so want are not the most important thing. The most important thing is me serving Him. Because number one, He's God. Number two, I'm not. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name?
Glad.
I'm thankful He cares, and every blessing that I will ever enjoy comes from Him, and I will never allow any circumstance to take away the source of the peace that comes, not from my circumstance, but from knowing Him who loves me and gave Himself. Have you let your circumstances get in the way? Have we become a grumbling children of Israel and deserve to die in the wilderness? Or do we honestly give thanks? Let's discipline. If I was to ask you what your problems were, we would be able to fill in a couple of it. Can I have some more paper? Sometimes if we're giving thanks, enumerating it, writing it down, it's a much more difficult. That should not be. So, let's practice the discipline of gratefulness. Make a list for your husband and your wife of your gratefulness to them, the people in the church, the people, the Lord. Be grateful for the land. Pray about all of them. And let's go forth from here and show people that we know a God that is a God above all the circumstances. And if we wind up in prison, we're going to be singing songs in the night. Yeah. Let's not be hypocritical about it. Can we do that? We can. If we practice the discipline of thanks. Tonight, if you need to obey the gospel, be thankful for one more chance. In your faith, repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. Confess His name before men, Matthew 10:32. Be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. If you have sins that you need to confess to one another, we'll pray with you and for you. Whatever it is, let's take care of it right now, while God in His love gives us one more opportunity to turn our lives over to Him. Bring Him your body as a living sacrifice while we stand and while we stand. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to confess my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray that what we have shared was helpful to you. And some spiritual disciplines maybe caused us to set some new goals and not become people who sit back and say we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's not a good place to be. We need to be a people who are grateful and keenly aware that we do not deserve the blessings that we enjoy. Let us get out and tell others, how great our God is and how great riches and what the wonderful blessings that are found in Christ are. And let's most of all be most grateful for the grace and mercy of our God who saw and sacrificed Himself to give us an opportunity that we did not deserve. For that, we will praise Him forever. Thank you for your attention.